Governor Walker, by executive order, created the position of a white-tailed deer trustee position last fall to review and evaluate Wisconsin's deer herd management practices. And he hired James Kroll of Texas to do the job. Dubbed Dr. Deer, or the Deer Czar, Kroll has finished his assignment and he has his report out. We will talk about what the report recommends to improve the management of the deer herd and to improve the relationship between hunters and the DNR this hour. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, July the 12th. And we will welcome your questions and your reactions to this Deer report at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Pat Durkin, freelance outdoor columnist for Wisconsin newspapers. He joins us from his home in Wapaka. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being back with us. We talked about the preliminary report, I believe. Is there anything surprising in this report to you?
Not really too surprising, I guess. It followed pretty closely what they came out with in their preliminary recommendations or suggestions back in April. But it is a lot more specific, a lot more item-by-item type stuff that you know, I guess if there is a surprise, it's I think the fact that they're basically recommending the DNR drop the whole idea of having population goals and using area-specific population estimates. That's been a real center point of the DNR's program for about 50, 60 years.
Yeah, so the way it is now, various regions of Wisconsin have population estimates and a
right.
goal for the deer hunting season
Correct.
As to how many deer they would like harvested.
Correct. Yeah, right now Wisconsin's divided into about 130 some what they call deer management units, and what the DNR has always done is within each unit set a specific goal for that area. And they also do an estimate every year on what they think how many deer are in that area. And that itself has been very controversial because the units themselves have been divided and subdivided, and some of them look like a little patchwork of, it's just some are tiny, some are pretty good size. And it's always been a slice and dice stuff that gets people confused on really how many units do we need. And that's one other thing that Kroll suggested was reducing the number of those units into more manageable sizes and sizes that are, you know, better representative of the whole area. And in fact, one thing I thought they might do, what they didn't do, is like some states do, is just say instead of having all these deer management units, getting people confused, why not just use the county boundaries as our units? That way, everybody understands what area we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't they do that?
It's always been, well, Wisconsin's always tried to do it in a way that they follow as closely as they can the habitat range and geographical features. And so, you know, typically they don't follow along a county line. They follow highway boundaries, river boundaries, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like Virginia uses just the counties. When I asked their people why they use the counties, he said, well, in many cases, you know, the county boundaries are following along river corridors and, geographical features. So I think personally, you know, we could probably do that, and it would save a lot of grief in the long run as far as public understanding.
So he recommends the DNR drop or scrap its local deer population goals. Does
right.
that does that make sense to you?
It does, because you know, the one thing, and it's been one of these points of contention for years. We always fight about numbers that no one really fully understands. I mean, the DNR understands them, the university people understand them. But, you know, like even people like me who follow this issue day in, day out, you look at the estimates, you look at the calculations, and you get lost. They're hard to really fully understand. I tend to always say, well, I have to trust these guys at some point that they know what they're doing. You have to have a program. You have to have consistency. And so I'm willing to go hunting and just not worry about a DNR estimate, because I think I still like to go hunting. That's my main motivation. But other people like to fight about that. And when they hear a deer population goal and they hear a deer estimate by the DNR, all they think about is, well, what they see. and what they see doesn't, you know, agree with what the DNR is saying in their eyes, so it becomes this conflict. And I guess after covering this for like 30-some years now, I keep thinking, at what point do we stop beating our head against the wall and realize we've got to find a way to communicate with people and find things that we can agree or disagree about, you know, a little more rationally, where we can actually have a discussion, not just an argument.
What is Dr. Deere recommending when it comes to, he's saying that hunters have to become their own, you know, their own deer managers, that hunters are going to be, in essence, a part of the deer population management. How so?
Well, you know, Wisconsin, you know, you hear that a lot, you know, about the DNR and hunters not communicating, not being in touch. But actually, you know, we do, you know, for all the arguing we do have a pretty good mechanism in many ways to keep the public involved. In some ways, though, the things we end up arguing about just don't they're hard to really get a good discussion going on. And what I think Kroll's saying, and I really think it's a great idea, and it's something I wish the DNR would push more and would have been pushing more on, is finding research initiatives that the hunters can help with, get them involved. Like, you know, like if you look at hunting organizations, there's a lot of them out there who really do a great job of involving their members in things like habitat projects, like Pheasants Forever, the Rough Feral Society, real active type public involvement programs they have. And with deer hunting, I think we could be doing the same thing, getting workshops going with one of the things he recommends, and this is a deer management assistant program, where you go out and work with local landowners and local clubs, deer camps, whatever it might be, and get them involved in actively gathering data, whether it's the weights of the deer they shoot, at the antler circumferences of the bucks they shoot. You can even train them how to do habitat analysis. So they annually go out there and collect data on the property they hunt and start showing them. And over time, you get that data compiled. You can really get people a lot more actively engaged and understanding the impacts that deer have on that property and the impacts as a result that affect other animals and birds on that property.
Well, another recommendation that caught my eye was this proposal that says landowners should be able to hold mini hunts on their property to help manage the herds. How does this work?
Yeah, I think that's kind of not quite what that deer management assistance program is all about. What all they're saying basically with this, we'll say DMAP, it's Deer Management Assistance Program. It's a very common, popular program that's been going on in the South for many years. I think Kroll estimates about 20 different states across the South are using it. And they're not really doing miniature hunts apart from what the state already holds. They basically create a program within that framework. And basically, you know, within a 9-day season, they still hold a 9-day season. They hold the regular season that we'd be holding for archery season. But within that, they actually go in there and talk to landowners and say, okay, for this property, let's try to shoot this many antlers deer this year, does and fawns. And they'll go back and forth on what they think should be shot and what the landowners think should be shot. And then they hand out the permits based on that level. And then, you know, basically when they do that, they come back at the end of the season and they'll have a list of things they want the hunters to provide them. You know, they want the weights of every deer that was shot. They want a jawbone collected off that so they can age all the deer that were shot there. And these kind of measurements that over time, you know, when you get people working in those kind of cooperatives, over time you can really start seeing how that herd is doing on their land. And it gives the people much better feel and much better good public relations with the DNR. Then look at the DNR as an active player in this, and someone they can confer with, and they aren't just meeting the DNR when they're arguing about something.
Yeah, what's your sense? Are hunters liking this idea?
Well, I haven't really heard from many hunters on this. You know, and what's always tough on these kind of things is, you know, you try to get a sense of that, and some people always do is these days is we go on online and read articles about Dr. Kroll's recommendations, and within, you know, 3 or 4 lines, you see people getting right back and see them all bickering. We can tell they haven't even read the report. They're just bickering about the fact he's a Texan, or they think this, they think that, and they really don't really stay on topic. You know, but I think you know, this won't, whether this is implemented or not, it won't end all the arguments, but I think it does take away, it would take away the biggest problem we have, and that's this constant arguing over deer estimates. And I think, you know, the thing that Kroll and Dr. Gwynne bring to this thing, you know, Dr. Gwynne was one of his, what I call vice czars on this program, is that they have the southern perspective, and the South has never been big on estimating deer populations, because they basically, their scientists, their biologists say it's kind of a futile effort. No one really can say for certain how many deer are on the landscape. We have an index, and it's better to work with an index than an actual estimate. And, you know, so that's why one of his recommendations is that when we set quotas every 3 or 5 years, so people have some idea of what you know, the consistency there isn't going to change every year. And then, you know, they'll ask people, well, is the herd, is it too low? Is it too high? Should we stabilize it? And get not just hunters involved in this discussion, but farmers and people, the motorists, anyone else that wants to weigh in and say, you know, like, well, you guys, you might want to see more deer. And so it makes hunting more fun, more interesting. But I'm the guy that has to live in this area and farm in this area, drive through this area, and there shouldn't be that many deer. And that's you know, then you get, I think, a real good public dialogue going. And I think too often, I've seen it in public meetings, is that some people get pretty crappy at public meetings, that they aren't polite. And I think... Yeah, instead of getting mad about this, we should just have, you know, be good neighbors and talk about it. And ideally, at, you know, by the end of the night, in some cases, we have a better idea of, well, is the herd too large? And, you know, I think if you've got more people out there saying, well, there has to be too many deer out there because trilliums can't grow anymore and certain wildflowers can't grow anymore and the deer are eating them all off. Then you have a better idea of really what impacts you're having out there.
We will check weather, and we will welcome your thoughts, your questions, your reactions, nice, polite, civil reactions to the final report issued by Wisconsin's Deer Czar this week. It has 60-some recommendations to improve the management of the deer herd in Wisconsin and to improve the relationship between hunters and the DNR. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be a sunny, warm day today, highs between 85 and 92 degrees. This is the Ideas Network.
The report is all about putting the biologists and the DNR representatives back with the public.
That's Dr. James Kroll, the deer czar of Wisconsin. He finished his assessment and his recommendations on the management of the deer herd. That report was made public this week, and we are talking with a guest about what's in it and welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your reactions to this report and what it means for the future of the deer herd in Wisconsin and deer hunting in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Pat Durkin, who is a freelance outdoors columnist for Wisconsin newspapers. Mike in Bayview emailed in two questions. Was Kroll's position created just to create this report? And if not, what is he doing from now on? And seeing as this position did not exist in the past, how much does this position, this report, cost taxpayers? Do you have those answers off the top of your head, Pat?
Yeah, the first part, the second part, I mean, this wasn't paid by taxpayers. You know, the work totaled $125,000. Now, the way I understand it is that Dr. Kroll got $75,000, and then his two professionals who helped him out, Gary Alt from who now lives in California but from Pennsylvania, and Dr. Dave Gwynne from South Carolina. That they both got $25,000. Now that could be off by a little bit or whatever, but basically it's $125,000, and it was not paid by taxpayers. The money came from the hunter, the fees that hunters pay for hunting licenses. And primarily in Wisconsin, the biggest bulk, the bulk of our license revenues come from deer hunters. That's a huge pool that, of money that deer hunters pay into. The second part, as far as Dr. Kroll's, what his position is from now, you know, from what I understand, after this week, basically, his time is officially over. You know, he was appointed back in October, and he's now filed his report, and he's in Wisconsin this week. I think probably helping the governor's office and whoever the DOA and DNR figure out what the next step will be now, whether to, how to go about implementing this. And they haven't, in the last time I checked with Department of Administration, which basically oversees this process, they have not come up with a real plan yet on how they're going to actually roll this out, get public involvement, and then implement it. It won't be done in, over the next few weeks. Now, what role Dr. Kroll plays in that, it might be just advisory where he checks in on the phone. I don't know. I've tried talking to him about that, and he really hasn't gotten back to me in that aspect of it yet. But, you know, to me, it, I think one thing that he and his team brought to this that was interesting to watch is, you know, they are outsiders, so people are going to be a little more polite with them. They aren't going to, you know, they don't look at them as, they don't feel as threatened or they don't have their fists up, so to speak, when they have a guest in the house. Where as DNR people, they tend to be a little more agitated. But I think what was clear to see, especially with a guy like Gary Ault and Dr. Kroll too, you know, you can tell a guy like Gary Ault is a real flamboyant, well-spoken guy who's a leader. You know, and I think that's one thing that they pointed out in this process is that something like this needs good leadership, where you want the DNR to have, you know, to be proud of its system and be proud of the fact it's representing, you know, there's science and their whole philosophy on deer management. And I think a guy like Gary Ault really does a good job of that. And that's so certain sometimes our own DNR has been its best friend when it comes to really standing up for itself and showing pride in its profession.
We have lots of callers, so let's take some calls, okay, starting with John in Washera County. Hello, John.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I appreciate you, Joy, having this guest on to present this topic. I've come to the knowledge that Dr. Kroll's report recommends selling off of public lands. Now, this is a thing that really gets in my crawl, Dr. Kroll, because it's a travesty to the tradition of hunting. And, you know, you'd only be able to afford to hunt whatever, even upland game birds, not only deer, but you'd have to join a hunt club. And this is the process that's going on in the South, where there's not much public land down there to hunt on anymore.
Hold on, John. I just want to make sure. I know Pat Dirk and a lot of people were fearing that, you know, we're moving toward the privatization of hunting, so to speak, in Wisconsin, where people would have to hunt on you know, in hunt clubs or you know, that they wouldn't have these public lands. Does this report recommend selling off public lands?
There's nothing in the report that recommends selling off public lands. That's been a real persistent rumor and basically taking as fact by a lot of people in recent months. And I think a lot of it was because of the you know, how contentious the state's been with the Walker recall. And, you know, and the fact is, too, I mean, Kathy Stepp, DNR Secretary, has mentioned in the past the DNR's willingness to talk about the idea of selling off certain public lands, but I've seen nothing proposed anywhere in this report that recommends selling off public lands. I mean, one thing I think people have to, you know, if you're people who have been following this process, been part of this process, have to give these guys credit for is that they did not get into the politics of Wisconsin's deer management and Wisconsin's governor situation, and they really did not anywhere. I never heard them mention once the idea of selling off public lands, because I think how would that factor in the deer management in the report? It has nothing to do with what the stuff they were working on. So, yeah. And plus I think the thing I liked about watching these guys work and watching the public talk to them was, you could tell their interest was deer management, and basically holding hunters responsible too for creating some of these problems. And in, I wish, like, the only thing I'd say in the report, I would have moved up more to the front, was this thing at the end called the admonition. And they basically told hunters that by pushing for too many deer, pushing for more deer than the land can support, you're ultimately hurting the deer herd, and ultimately we'll have fewer deer. And I think that's one of the things that people should be looking at, not mm-hmm. worrying so much about some of the conspiracy theories that we wove through this process.
Yeah. And John, I'm going to give you a follow-up, just because it's not in this report to do any such thing. Is there, I'm wondering if you have anything else to add.
Well, I guess I do. I'm wondering why the great state of Wisconsin doesn't have the wildlife expertise to have our own recommendations. Why bring a guy up from the South who has the background of supporting such things as public land sell-off to the affluent people? And that's the people who would end up being able to hunt on these public former public lands.
Well, we have just a few seconds before our news break, so we'll ask our guest, Pat Durkin, to touch on why Dr. Kroll was hired for this particular job after we check the news, and we'll talk more about the final recommendations that are in this report on the management of Wisconsin's deer population, the deer herd, and how it would affect hunting in Wisconsin. Pat Durkin is a freelance outdoors columnist for Wisconsin newspapers. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This week, Wisconsin's deer trustee, James Kroll, released his final report with 60-some recommendations meant to improve the management of the deer herd in Wisconsin and improve the relationship between hunters and the DNR. Governor Walker called on the DNR to start implementing the proposals. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Pat Durkin, who is a freelance outdoors columnist for Wisconsin newspapers, about the recommendations and what this means to the future of the deer herd, the future of deer hunting in Wisconsin. And we're welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And Pat Durkin, just before of our newscast, we had a caller who was concerned that this report was recommending the selling off of public lands so that deer hunting would be done on private lands only or in hunt clubs only. You said, no, that's not in this report. Is there anything to lead you to believe in Dr. Kroll's background that's where Wisconsin is headed?
He comes from Texas, which is only about Texas has about 3% public lands. Wisconsin has about 17% public lands. And so, Wisconsin hunters have been blessed by having lots of public land available, not just in the north, but actually all across the state, small parcels, and sometimes we don't even take advantage of the ones we have. But Dr. Kroll, his background, he does have a lot of background in the commercial end of deer hunting, whether it's on, he's a deer hunting celebrity on TV. He's done research into the big antler traits and how to promote bigger antlers, and he's worked with private deer farms, and Texas has a lot of big ranches that are surrounded by high fences and managed real tightly for bigger bucks and the kind of basic. It's a different aspect of deer hunting that's unique to Texas and really nowhere else in our country. And, among the deer hunting world, Texas is viewed as its own world, separate from everything else. So I can see where people might have that some of those ideas, but I think it really undersells and, basically doesn't give Kroll enough credit for the things he's accomplished elsewhere. And, plus he is a controversial guy. He is known in his own profession as a maverick. He isn't he's not a member of the Wildlife Society, which is kind of their professional organization that almost all deer biologists are members of. So he's a little bit of an outcast among some of those guys. But at the same time, one thing I always say about the guy is he knows how to communicate to people. He knows the science. He might not be the most published researcher out there in the deer world, but he does a lot of work with deer hunters, a lot of the deer ranchers. And a lot of these guys aren't what some people in Wisconsin would like and don't want to see, but read his report, and I defy anyone to show where he's importing Texas into Wisconsin.
Yeah, now this recommendation that private landowners and hunt clubs, I believe, should hold hunts on their lands, you're saying that's during the 9-day season.
It's within the existing framework we already have, and basically all it's saying is that instead of the thing that's I think neat about the program is it really fine tunes the harvest recommendations. Instead of having a harvest recommendation that spreads over an area of like 400 square miles or something, it's now basically being brought down onto the landscape itself where people hunt and say, okay, on this parcel land you guys are responsible for, let's try to remove this many deer. And that's about basically, in a nutshell, what that would be about.
Yeah, and then very briefly, because we do have other callers and we've touched on this issue in the past, why did Governor Walker hire Dr. Kroll and not just have our, great DNR biologists and experts look into this issue?
Well, I think it goes back to, it was in many ways, I don't think it was meant as an insult, but I can see why people at our universities and in the DNR were insulted by the idea of going out and getting basically a couple of Southerners and a guy from Pennsylvania to review the program. But by the same token, they've done reviews in the past with outsiders, and whether they're from Iowa, Georgia, and other places, and Missouri. And so we've gone outside before to get experts. But the one thing with Dr. Kroll that you get with a guy like Dr. Kroll is he is his own person. He's not afraid of offending his colleagues. And I think, too, it's just the simple fact that people, for some reason, I think it's in our DNA that we always want the expert from 50 miles away with a suitcase. We want someone from right outside. Companies do a lot of time. They don't look to their best people a lot of times to review their processes. They go outside, bring in some guy from Cleveland or Chicago, and have him come in and do the same job their own guy could have done just as cheaply or more cheaply. But I think there's just something in our nature that we want to bring in someone from the outside to review things and give a real objective view. And, as I've said, in this kind of job, this wasn't a job for the weak of heart. Someone, whoever did this job had to have a thick skin, be willing to shake up things. And I think he's done that.
Yeah, we have so many calls. Let's take another from Ann in Marinette. Hello, Ann.
Hi. I was just wondering, it seems that only hunters' opinions were being catered to here. It doesn't seem like, it seems like the report was made just for hunters because hunters are complaining the most. My husband is a hunter, and I understand the need for population control and all that, but I just want to know why other people's opinions aren't seeming to be as taken into consideration.
Yeah, what kind of opinions from people who don't like hunting, Ann, or what?
No, just like, wildlife enthusiasts, just, people who just enjoy watching nature, tribal groups. It seems like the report was just catered to quell the anger that hunters had over the deer hunts over the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Pat Durkin?
Yeah, I think, though, in fairness to this report, I thought Kroll and Alt and Gwynn did a pretty good job on many occasions in this report of talking about how the Chippewa tribes have to be consulted on many of these things. Even by law, they have to be, because in the north, basically they control, they have a say in half the resources up there. That's by law. And so the tribes, they have some really top-notch people like Jonathan Gilbert who consult on these things. And I hope that'll be even more important, going forward. But I think there's a need to get more broad views brought into this discussion, but so often in the current formats we've had, whether it's through the Conservation Congress or the hearings that the Senate holds, or the legislature, the Assembly holds, a lot of times these interests, whether it's people worrying about forestry concerns, the flowers, wildflowers, those kind of concerns, whatever your concern might be, they often don't show up. And it wasn't those people who generated this this need to have a deer czar appointed by the governor. And so I think, therefore, it's not shouldn't be surprising that the focus of this was basically finding ways to get the hunters more involved and get the DNR and hunters working together.
I don't know if you saw this. Yesterday, I believe, Republican State Representative Tom Tiffany from Hazelhurst called for the replacement of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Big Game Management Unit based on this report, I guess, and saying
right.
You know, because the deer herd's been mismanaged, apparently, to some extent, according to the report. So Kathy Stepp, the DNR secretary, said that this proposal was premature. Well, what do you expect to be the result of your reaction to that that call from Representative Tiffany? But what is going to be the impact of this report?
Yeah, I think, personally, I thought Tiffany's response was, kind of hysterical. That's just, to me, there's definitely, I think, cause for concern. And I think, I would think Secretary Stepp would look at that and say, do we have the right people in place to implement what Kroll's recommending here, and can they do the job effectively? I think that's worthy of discussion. Because, the DNR in the past has had many opportunities to modify its approach and follow programs other processes have recommended, and really did not really keep it front and center as something to follow. So that's worthy of debate. But for a representative to come out one day after reports issued and call for people to be basically fired, that strikes me as a gross overreaction. But I think it'd be interesting, because the only thing that the report really recommended as far as personnel was basically hiring someone to run this deer management assistant program and be a good communicator and get that thing going and get it out there to as many groups as we can, but also to do the kind of public involvement they're talking about, it really would require a different approach for the DNR's wildlife managers. We have roughly, depending on how you classify them, over 100 people who work as wildlife managers in Wisconsin. And Kroll's contention is that too much of their effort has been spent trying to find ways to justify and explain things like their sex, age, kill, population formula, and these other things that they always end up arguing about with people. Instead, get them out there teaching people how to do their own habitat assessments, collect their own data. And the thing that Kroll points out, and it's something most people can relate to, is that when you have people collecting this data themselves, then it becomes data that you can basically use against them. If they don't like something and say, well, this is what your data is showing us, so now they can't argue with the own data they provide.
Our next caller is Diane in La Crosse. Hello, Diane.
Hi. I've got a couple of concerns. First of all, one of the titles of your show, you're talking about how can the DNR have better relationships with the public. Well, first of all, we know that the DNR offices hours have been cut drastically, and I'm in all locations. I think in La Crosse they're open a half a day a week. I can't believe it. Secondly, I think we're really minimizing the effect and the reason that this particular study was done and who did it. Dr. Kroll, we know that he has profited immensely from renting his private lands for public hunting. We know that he was chosen for this very reason. There is no reason that our own DNR, our own state, we do have the resources to study, to examine. And, we are saying, in fact, that we don't have the resources or the skills or the knowledge or expertise, which is not true. This is a political decision, and it's going to be rammed down the throat. Our public lands that our people have paid and put aside for future generations is at risk.
Yeah, and a lot of people think that. Pat, not, you know, Diane's not the only one. We've had other callers. You see it online quite a bit, mm-hmm. that people are afraid that Wisconsin's going to be, you know, losing its public lands, and hunting is going to turn into, you know, private hunting clubs.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish the concern, though, I think if the governor were to try that kind of thing, to try to sell off her public lands, I think he'd hit a buzzsaw that goes beyond anything he saw with the public employees. That's just something that Wisconsinites have come to treasure, is our public lands, our public resources, and the idea of public ownership of our fish and wildlife. I think those are core values that you cannot take away from people without really expecting a major hit. I think by now, if he had these ideas early in his days as governor, I'm sure they were there. I mean, those discussions were being held. But to do it now, now some of those kind of ideas were being, you know, surfaced and brought to the surface, I'd be surprised if he pushed that very hard. I just really would be, because people would not take that lying down. Mm-hmm. And as far as, you know, some of these other concerns, Dr. Kroll, from what I understand, has a 200-acre piece of property of his own. It is high-fenced. But he calls that a research facility. He does his own, you know, he's a college professor. He's doing stuff down there on his property that, you know, for his purposes is research. Now, I don't know how that affects public hunting in Texas. I mean, it's one 200-acre parcel owned by an individual, and that's, you know, as a person in Wisconsin could do the same thing, for, you know. So I can't say that that's, you know, hurting public hunting.
We have to take a quick break. We'll continue taking your calls for Pat Durkin, who is a freelance outdoors columnist for Wisconsin newspapers. He's helping us go through this final report from Wisconsin's so-called deer czar on the management of the deer herd in Wisconsin. Some of the recommendations include dropping local deer goals in Wisconsin. We will talk about some others as well, some other recommendations. Well, he had some recommendations when it comes to chronic wasting disease outbreaks, that the DNR should focus only on new CWD outbreaks. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be a sunny, warm day today with highs between 85 and 92 degrees. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 8 o'clock, are you crazy busy? Busy, busy, busy? Do you ever do nothing? We'll talk with a guest who says that this busy trap that so many of us are in is self-imposed. We'll wonder if you agree with that or not, coming up after 8. We're talking about the deer herd in Wisconsin and how the new deer czar, is recommending we deal with the deer herd management in the state of Wisconsin, with Pat Durkin, who is an outdoors columnist. And I wanted to ask you about, we really concentrated just on a couple of the recommendations in this 60 recommendation report. Another was on CWD, Pat, focusing on new CWD outbreaks. Why is that significant?
I thought it was kind of an interesting one because, you know, like we had this new outbreak, not an outbreak, we found one diseased deer up by Rice Lake. And the DNR's response there was pretty passive. They basically said, "We'll, you know, go in and talk to local landowners, but basically really do the real collection of deer to figure out how widespread the problem might be in that area. We'll wait until this fall's hunting season to do that." And so, to me, that wasn't exactly a hit the ground running type response. And I guess I thought that was too passive. So I would hope, though, that in the future, when they have these kind of things, we go on and do a focused collection of deer, shoot enough deer to get an idea how widespread the problem might be in a certain area, so you can better focus the hunting pressure that fall, if that's possible. You know, the CWD question, I mean, they're basically recommending, though, a more passive approach than what we tried the last 10 years. And I guess I'm kind of concerned by the idea of getting more passive about it. But then again, this is a disease we're still learning a lot about. We don't really have a great background in understanding chronic wasting disease and the best ways to work with it. And so far, the aggressive approach really hasn't gotten far because the public response to it, the hunting public response to it, they've been resistant to really knock down the herd enough to see if we can make a difference by lowering the deer herd. So given that we haven't had that kind of good response in the past, it's hard to say we'd have a better response in the future. So I can see why keep trying to force something that people aren't willing to do, and we haven't given them a good reason to do it yet, and at least not a reason that they respond to.
Let's go to Jeff in Green Bay. Hello, Jeff.
Hello. Being a hunter myself, I'm willing to listen to just about anything other than what the DNR has been doing lately, because they seem to be completely out of touch with how the herd's been decimated. But a couple questions I have is, I haven't been able to read the report myself. So my one question is, if there was anything in there that dealt with either incentives or pressure to private landowners to open up and allow more people onto their land, thus removing some of the pressure from the public land, because the public lands are just getting pounded something horrible.
All right. So, well, is there, I mean, he did encourage private landowners to hold these hunts, but right. Was there anything else?
Yeah, I don't recall offhand as much as far as incentives, but, you know, there are things in there about, you know, the whole idea. One thing I guess I'd hope we get talking about at some point is this idea of a crop abatement, you know, paying people for crop damage. And, you know, they did a good job of showing that the amount of money we're paying farmers to, you know, basically reimburse them for crop losses, you know, caused by deer is dropping. But I still think by giving any kind of incentive for crop damage, you know, I don't understand why you pay for crop damage but not for like a deer vehicle collision. And but I think when you have various buffers like that, payments like that, you kind of give people, you know, in the farming community a reason not to come in and call for fewer deer in that area. I think you start kind of messing with the public perception about really how many deer can we tolerate in this area. So I would hope going forward we'd find ways to get more people involved from all the different aspects of our society who deal and live in these lands, live out there in the landscape. And by doing that, by getting the whole community involvement in this and getting more dialogue, you'd make people realize that, yeah, by not having hunting on our property, we're part of the problem now. We're causing too many deer to live on the landscape and cause problems for our neighbors. Yeah. I think that's when they start really fully understanding that they're part of the problem by not allowing hunting and not allowing the management of their deer herd, you know, that becomes an impediment.
Let me, we have less than a minute, in fact, 30 mm-hmm. seconds. Are you hopeful this report will lead to better management of the deer herd?
Yeah, I mean, I really, to me, I guess, you know, Dr. Kroll uses the term reset, you know, hit the reset button. And I kind of hope that's where this goes, that we try something new. Because, you know, the old approach, we're basically, I think, at a dead end with it. People are just so argumentative right now about the process. And the idea that we really have a decimated deer herd, I just don't agree with that. We have lots of deer in this state. There's areas without many deer, but the problems aren't predators in the most part. It's still going to come back to habitat.
Yeah.
And we mean people talking about habitat.
We'll have you back to talk more about that, too. Pat Durkin, freelance outdoors columnist for Wisconsin newspapers. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.